Okay, our next speaker this morning is Chris Pritchard, Natural Gas Product Manager for Cummins. In his presentation, Dual Fuel for Mining, Same Power, Substantial Savings, he will describe how dual fuel engine technology provides the ability to substitute natural gas for diesel in the combustion process, delivering the same transient response, torque curve, and power density critical to high horsepower engine operations, while at the same time lowering operating costs. Chris will talk about the technology and economics of a dual fuel solution and the impact it will have on mine site operations. Please welcome Chris.
Thank you. Can you hear me? I can hear myself, so that's a good sign. Thank you for your time this morning. Like we mentioned, my name is Christopher Pritchard. Chris is fine. I'm the high horsepower natural gas product manager for Cummins. So I work specifically with the off-highway product. What I'd like to do this morning is talk to you a little bit about dual fuel technology and why it makes sense for the mining industry. We see this as a pretty... Did I do that? There we go. I didn't think I pressed a button. We see dual fuel as a really revolutionary technology for mining as well as some other markets. There's with the growth of natural gas availability globally, this is a really good opportunity to save a lot of money, which I'll walk through. This presentation is by intention of the short nature of this time slot, fairly high level. So if you have any questions, if we have time on the back end, I'll try and answer them. Or stop by our booth after this afternoon, and we'll try, or later this morning, and we'll try and answer them there. So a couple of points we'd like to walk through. Really, one is, what is dual fuel? A lot of people don't really understand what we're talking about, and it's a somewhat time misused term. Behind that, why natural gas? Why is it relevant? What exactly is LNG? Some alternate LNG technologies. And then how does the dual fuel systems work? With a couple different technologies I'll walk you through. How does it save money? And then what's needed to actually make it, to put a dual fuel system in your mines? Okay, first question, what is dual fuel? Really, the story behind that is really associated with natural gas. We're very strong in the oil and gas market as well as the mining market. So some of you may not be fully aware of this. You've probably all heard of shale and pressure pumping or fracking. What this has done in the industry is made available a amount of natural gas that's just unheard of historically. If you look at the chart on your left, the black box is the conventional reserves of natural gas. And, you know, it's around 6,000 or 7,000 terracubic feet. This is 2011 data, so it's actually a little outdated. The 25,000 terracubic feet is actually what's made available by this pressure pumping or fracking technology. Some of that's financially viable. Some of it isn't yet. As that technology improves and becomes more cost-effective, that'll shift a little bit. Where this is really playing out is North America right now. You see that in the natural gas prices, which are at almost all-time lows right now in the U.S. and Canada. However, what we see globally is the shale plays have been identified where we're looking at just about every region of the world, not necessarily every country, but just about every region is expected to have a locally available natural gas supply. We expect this to drive a lot of what we're seeing in North America as far as pricing and availability will happen overseas as well. We're starting to see it in a lot of other places. So really this dual fuel and natural gas interest we expect this to become relevant internationally fairly quickly. One of the other things that's changing as the gas becomes more available is the import-export LNG or natural gas supplies are expanding as well. There's talk about putting in more export facilities in North America. Australia and Africa are growing those capacities as well. So it's really looking like it's going to become a very significant global concern, or not a concern, global opportunity is probably a better way to put it fairly shortly. One other question we talk on is, what is LNG? Surprisingly, a lot of people don't understand this. Basically, LNG is essentially liquefied, very chilled, which is done by chilling it. Usually it's pipeline gas, so it's the same stuff you get at your house, you get out of the major pipelines. That chemistry varies a little bit, but typically it's mostly methane. You may see some higher order hydrocarbons, ethanes, propanes, but for the most part you don't see too much of that. There's exceptions, of course, but for the most part. One thing we like to point out is that LNG is not propane. Propane's the stuff you get for your barbecue grill if you don't use charcoal. But it's a very good fuel source. We have engines that run on it. A lot of customers like it in other segments. But it's not cost-effective compared to diesel for this segment. It's also not nearly as cold. One of the challenges with LNG, though, is the energy density. It ends up being about half that of diesel once you throw in the tanks. Being cryogenic, LNG is about 260 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. So you need a special fuel tank to store that. So it usually comes out to be about a 2-to-1 ratio with diesel fuel as far as equivalent energy. Do I need to stand over here? So that's the gas side of it. Then the question is, what's dual fuel? Again, this is a misused term. Dual fuel is a technology, and there's a couple variations of it, that allows you to replace diesel fuel with natural gas, partially. Basically, it's a technology. There's no loss in performance. Acceleration and transient performance as well as power density are equivalent to a diesel engine. There's a pilot inject diesel injection is always needed to light off the natural gas, but essentially as you replace the diesel with natural gas, you get the fuel savings. The lower cost of natural gas drives a very significant cost-saving opportunities, which I'll walk through in a few slides, but it's essentially an easy way, well, maybe not easy, but it's an opportunity to take what's a mine application or any application, maintain the diesel performance your operators and your facilities expect, but get the fuel savings that goes with natural gas. One of the things we tend to talk about is the oil to natural gas price ratio. Like I mentioned, North America has seen a lot of changes in the past 5 to 10 years. The chart at the bottom, which you can't see very well, is basically the history of the oil and natural gas pricing in the North Americas. Basically, if you look around 2005, 2006 or so, which is really when the fracking technology really started to take off and the natural gas supply grew very quickly, the price of natural gas in North America dropped pretty dramatically. Oil continues to climb. So really, there's a button here. As you can not quite see, sorry about that. The ratio has moved from about a 1 to 1.5 gas to diesel price or oil to gas price up to around in the 3 to 4 range. We expect this to continue and pretty much indefinitely in North America. We expect this to start to take place in the other markets as well, especially where they have a large supply of natural gas. Some markets where there's not a natural gas supply locally available and you have to import it may not be quite as advantageous, but still, like I said, with the expansion of the oil and gas import-export or the gas import-export market, we expect those markets to become a little bit more standardized as well. One of the things we're starting to see is historically natural gas imports and exports large scale have been tied to an oil pricing. We're starting to see a lot of push to move away from that and get to a more commodity-based product or pricing strategy. You know, this is all stuff that we don't play in, but it's important for us to pay attention to. So with that, that's kind of the background. So how does dual-fuel technology work? There's really two technology paths that we think of as dual-fuel. The first one is what we call a fumigation-type strategy. This basically mixes natural gas with the intake airstream. So essentially, most of these engines are turbocharged, well, just about everything in this segment, and we mix natural gas with the compressor inlet. This provides a good opportunity to mix the gas in the airflow. That gas-air mixture proceeds down into the power cylinder where a diesel injection event starts the combustion process. It's pretty much a standard diesel engine. Most of the technologies in this segment don't need a different injector for the diesel system. They don't need any really significant changes on the engine side. And it acts, like I mentioned, just like a diesel engine. So all the acceleration, the transient performance, the power density is identical to a diesel engine. The operator won't really know the difference. This technology is nice because it allows you to run on a mixture of natural gas and diesel or it allows you to run on full diesel power. So if gas isn't available for some reason, you can still run in diesel mode, which is a nice feature. So one of the other things that you have to be aware of with net dual fuel technologies is substitution rate. So if you've got, you're running on 100% diesel, how much of that diesel can you essentially substitute with natural gas? This tends to vary with load, engine speed, the type of application, fuel quality, and probably a half dozen other variables. But these are the important ones. Essentially, at low speed, low power, the... scared to press a button here. Which one of these is lasers? Middle? All right. Thank you. So at low speed and low load, essentially you're running in idle mode or light loaded conditions. Really, you're pretty much full diesel mode. The engine is really just maintaining speed and combustion stability on diesel power. As you pick up load and speed, you ramp up fairly quickly. And this is just a cartoon, by the way, so don't read too much into it. But you pick up load and speed until you get into this sweet spot, which is really where you want to run to get the maximum amount of substitution. So essentially, this is your operating peak. What happens on the back end, some engine configurations may have to drop off as you get to either full or rated, or in some applications we actually have engines that run over rated speed just the way they're set up. But some configurations, it may drop off at full power. For the mining industry, I think most of our applications, we're not expecting that to happen, though. So the other thing to think about with dual fuel is your fuel cost savings are actually based on your average substitution rate. One of the things that makes dual fuel very complicated is a lot of people will talk about your substitution rate, and what they're really talking about is this level. What you have to consider is the overall duty cycle and the impact of how much diesel fuel do you burn under what conditions. And most, you know, big equipment like we're talking about spends a lot of time at pretty high power, pretty high load. That's where you're really where you burn most of your fuel. But if you've got an application that spends a lot of time down here at idle, well, one, it's probably not very well utilized. But two, it's probably not going to get a lot of gas substitution. So that's something you have to think about as you look at dual fuel. Where does it make sense and where doesn't it? Fuel quality is an issue, like I mentioned. This market, we expect LNG to be pretty much the dominant fuel supply, so it's not as big of a factor as it is in some segments. Oil and gas market, for example, may want to run on what's called field gas, so it's essentially straight out of the well. You can get some pretty interesting chemistry with those things. So, like I said, this is kind of the high-level things to think about as you look at what your fuel savings are based on. Diesel LNG fuel flexibility. Like I mentioned, the fumigation technology lets you run on either diesel or a mixture of natural gas and diesel. This is especially important right now. The natural gas LNG market is expanding very quickly, but there are some places in the world where LNG may not be available reliably, or it may drop off intermittently, or it may not be available at all. That's changing really quickly, though. There's a lot of growth in the LNG market. But in the interim, we expect this to be a pretty positive decision process as part of your, as you're looking at dual fuel. A couple constraints to natural gas substitution rates is NOx and overtemperature. NOx is the same pinging you hear in your car when you put lower octane gas in it than you're supposed to. Most modern cars, like most big diesel engines that run on natural gas or spark ignition engines, have control systems to manage that so that it doesn't happen. It can cause a lot of damage very quickly if it doesn't, though. The other constraint is overtemperature. If you've got a diesel engine and you're mixing 100% diesel fuel and too much gas, you can very quickly get into a point where it's running too hot. This can cause failure modes. The key point here to remember is the overall engine control system has to be capable of managing the fuel substitution rate, the diesel flow, the engine speed, all the other parameters that a diesel engine, a dual fuel engine has to control, or you can very quickly get into a lot of engine damage fairly fast. One of the other technologies I wanted to let you know about is the high pressure gas injection technology. This is basically where the diesel and the natural gas are both injected into the power cylinder directly. If you remember, the fumigation system introduces the natural gas into the intake air. This technology introduces it straight into the power cylinder. This is a technology that's been done in the marine market with medium-speed engines for quite some time, quite successfully. There's some application of it in the high-speed diesel market. It uses a smaller diesel injector, so there's a pilot injection in the truest sense of the word rather than a traditional diesel size injector. What's nice about these things is you do get very good substitution rates. The corollary, though, is a lot of these applications, especially the high-speed side, can't run full power on diesel mode. So if you don't have gas, it may be in some type of a limp-hole mode. Looking at some technology comparisons between the two, diesel being the baseline, fuel cost, you know, both fumigation and direct injection offer very phenomenal fuel savings. So either of those technologies would get you there. The direct injection is better. I ran out of colors of green, though. Power density, they're all about the same. You know, the diesel engine is essentially the baseline. Fumigation and direct injection should be about the same. Acceleration should be the same. The complexity and cost are kind of tied together. You add more complexity, you add more cost. The fumigation system adds content to the diesel engine, so it is slightly worse than a straight diesel. The direct injection has a little bit more technology. It's got typically high-pressure cryogenic pumps in the tanks. It's got a fairly complicated dual-stream injector technology. So you tend to see more complexity and more cost there. The diesel LNG flexibility, like I mentioned, a fumigation system can run on straight diesel, so that's not an issue. Right now, in this market, we expect most of the direct injection system technology will probably be running in some type of a lower power level, depending on what type of injector systems they use. Emissions performance is probably the last thing that maybe not the last thing, but one of the things people think about. Diesel engines work very well. You know, the Tier 2, the Tier 4 technologies are coming out. The fumigation and the direct injection systems both meet or exceed diesel performance. Depending on what you're looking at, whether it's soot, particulates, CO2, CO, or hydrocarbons, as long as you're dealing with the CO and the hydrocarbons on the back end with the dual fuel systems, performance and emissions is actually better than the diesel systems. So can dual fuel save you money? Probably the big question everybody's asking. Three things have to be in place for this to work. You have to have natural gas that's cheaper than your diesel. If your natural gas isn't cheaper than diesel, this whole thing kind of falls apart. You also have to have somebody that's making the engines and somebody that's putting the engines in the applications, be it the trucks or the excavators. If you don't have those, you obviously can't run on dual fuel. The thing most people tend to miss, though, is the infrastructure. So you need to get fuel supply to your mine. You need to be able to store it and refill your applications at your mine sites. This is not a minor issue, which we'll talk to in a minute. So how much money can you save? These are just some typical numbers. We ran some numbers this is based on a 2,500 horsepower engine, typical duty cycles and fuel costs. We ran, you know, about $1 million a year, basically, for fuel for one truck in diesel, straight diesel mode. Running that in dual fuel, one simulation, we ended up with about just over $400,000 of diesel fuel and about $300,000 of natural gas. So the net savings is about $300,000. Like I said, this is just one case. We ran a lot of cases. But typically what we see is there's 20 to 40% savings in fuel costs. So this adds up very quickly, especially for a larger mine with a lot of trucks. So how do we prepare for dual fuel? One of the big questions that I always get asked is how do you get LNG to your site? And there are a lot of answers to that question. There's some larger customers that are looking at intermodal shipping, you know, planes, trains, and trucks. Maybe not planes. But the beyond that, there's also several options. If your mine site is close enough to a large import-export facility, you may be able to go that route. There's peaking LNG plants, essentially, that take LNG off the pipe or take natural gas off the pipeline, liquefy it during the off-season so they can use it during the heating, basically during the winter, typically. Some of those people are getting into the commercial sales. There's regional LNG plants. There's other guys that happen to have one in their backyard for some reason. Most of them are, you know, from some other industry. And there's also some people selling micro LNG liquefaction plants that you basically put at your mine. Essentially, if you've got a natural gas pipeline, you can liquefy it yourself. Really, at this point, I don't see a clear answer here. I mean, there's a lot of options. I think all of them are potentially viable. The way I see this probably working out is each mine, each region is going to have to decide on your own conditions what makes the most sense. I think there's a lot of opportunities. There's certainly enough people trying to meet the need. So I think this will probably sort out. And it may be that there's just continues to be multiple opportunities. So the engine, we got the LNG. What goes into the truck from a fuel systems? The truck site is not simple by any stretch. Like I mentioned earlier, we expect LNG to be pretty much the dominant fuel for mobile applications. It's got twice the power density of CNG, half the energy density of diesel. But CNG is even worse. So the way these systems typically work is you've got, like I said, a large cryogenic tank. It's basically an overgrown thermos bottle, typically vacuum walls. It'll store LNG for a week-ish before it starts to vent. You've got a dedicated fuel supply nozzle. These use special equipment to get the LNG into the tank. The regulator and pressure supply or fuel supply to the engine is over here. And then there's a vaporizer in the middle, which basically takes it from the minus 260 to something in the 40, 50, 60 degree or warmer. And typically, we expect to use engine coolant to do that. So again, it's not an insurmountable question, but it is a significant opportunity or a significant task that has to be taken care of with the trucks. So in addition, there's a couple other things you probably want to think about as you look at dual-fuel technology. You will probably have to train your technicians, so basically the proper care and feeding of LNG. It's 260 degrees below zero, and if you get it captured in an environment with a proper ignition source, it'll go boom. So you have to make sure your people know what to do with it. Natural gas scares a lot of people, but it's a fairly safe industry. You know, they haven't really had any significant issues with LNG for a long time. As long as the proper protocols are followed, it makes a very good opportunity for fuel savings, but you do have to teach your people how to play with it. Fuel supply and storage, like I mentioned, to run in an LNG application or vehicle, you have to have LNG at your site. You've got to store it. You've got to refuel it. If you've got trucks that are coming through and you can all go to a refueling island, that's fairly straightforward. If you've got trucks or excavators that are basically placed in a bottom of a pit or someplace you can't get them in and out of very easily, you may want to look at something like a truck with an LNG tank on the back to refuel it. People do that with diesel fuels today, so probably not insurmountable. The other question you have to look at is your vehicle service bays. You don't want to bring an LNG-powered vehicle into a service bay and park it there for 2 weeks while you're working on it. Well, you probably don't want to have it parked there for 2 weeks anyways, but if you leave the LNG in the tank for that long, it will start to vent out. All of these tanks have to have vents or they'll pop. Typically, the tanks are probably only 50 to 100 PSI or so. But if you don't let that LNG vent off, it can build up pressure. So you need to make sure there's a mechanism to either get the LNG out of the tank before you bring it in, keep the service bay properly ventilated. And there's talk about you put a hose essentially on the vent and just dump that outside. So something else to think about. So in summary, we look at dual fuel for the mining industry as well as other segments as a very significant change. Spark ignition products have been very successful in a lot of places where gas is available. It's a very efficient way to convert natural gas to electricity. Dual fuel essentially takes that same natural gas, converts it to mechanical power, driving the mines. It will require some capital investment for LNG and refueling in particular, but the savings in a lot of cases will more than offset those investments. And really, one of the things that we need to think about, because this is not often understood, is that the performance of the application with a dual fuel system will not suffer. So your trucks will still perform as well as they do today on diesel. If you go with an excavator, it'll work just as well there. Refueling is a little harder on an excavator. But fundamentally, for a diesel performance, the operators will not see the difference. So, like I said, we see, you know, moving forward, 20 to 40% savings on fuel. This is just a phenomenal opportunity. So thank you for your time.